Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad you're in church today. Praise the Lord. And anytime you go somewhere, to ensure that you're an intelligent person, and you don't waste your time, you do what? You pay attention. Church is not the place to be typing WhatsApp messages. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Thank God for 6 feet. Now, you cannot be telling side jokes. Have you seen people like that before? The minister, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Those of us at the back, can you hear me?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. The minister might be teaching and they are joking. See his leg. see his head. But now that there's a distance, you can't do it. So thank God. But while you're in church, you pay attention. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because God will talk to you. He would. People that come to church and say, how can God, you mean this young person? This is the person God wants to use to talk to me. Oh, yeah. Balaam was a prophet of God. He was not an ordinary man. You know who a prophet is? A prophet is that person that for sure hears from God. Are you in this place?
Yes,
the proof that you're a prophet is that you hear from God. Who did God send to talk to him? The donkey. Is that not an insult? Meaning he wasn't hearing and God used a donkey. If God can use a donkey, he can use anything. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So when you come to church, pay attention. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Pay attention. It is not wisdom or intelligence to come back from church and say, what did you learn? Say, you were just wasting my time. And you were there. That time that you spent, you'll not get it again. So why don't you make good use of it? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
All right, it's a year of laughter. I said, even if you don't want to laugh, once, yeah, ha, ha, ha. Even if you're angry, ha, 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 you're going to laugh. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And it's a month of greatness. Special month. Wonderful month of August. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you ready now?
Yes, Pastor.
Put your phone on silent, check, or on flight mode, check. Don't assume. Have you checked?
Yes, Pastor.
So you're ready for me?
Yes, Pastor.
If your phone rings, you will come here and we'll preach together. Oh, I'm serious this time. You know, I always say, but today, I'm ready for you. So if you want to talk with me, you can put your phone on. I don't mind. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
All right. So you're ready now?
Yes, Pastor.
In life, it's not everything you accept. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
One of the things you're taught is to say no. There are things that you accept. There are things that you refuse. You reject. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Even if it is free, there are things that you refuse. Even if it is popular, there are things that you refuse. Praise the Lord. You don't take everything. You don't accept everything because it is free or it is popular. For example, on your streets, thieves going around robbing people's houses might be popular. Would you accept it? Come on, talk to me. Would you accept it? Would you say, that's how I'm expecting them to come to my house? Why? They've been going from house to house. Is that what you'd say? No. So even if it's popular, you can refuse it. You can refuse physical things. I can come and give you a bottle of Alomo bitters. Would you accept it? Praise the Lord. Or liquid chloroquine, just to drink. Would you accept it? What if I say it's free? Would you accept it? No. Why? Because you have control. You can say no. But when we come to the house of God, we are not coming to learn about physical things only. We are coming to learn about the spiritual. Because the spiritual controls the physical. That's why when Jesus walked on the earth, even though he gave to the poor, that was not what the Spirit of God emphasized. Are you in this place? He didn't emphasize that Jesus was a kind person. He was always giving free food. That was not his emphasis. His emphasis was on the supernatural, the spiritual. Because when you get born again, you ought to operate in the realm of the Spirit. And so spiritually too, there are things that you should accept, and there are some things that you should what? Refuse. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Last week, I started sharing with you how that while Jesus walked on the earth, he refused death. Do you remember? He refused. He refused to die. And he had many opportunities. There are some of you, you've never had an opportunity to die. And you will never have an opportunity to die. Praise the Lord. But even if there's an opportunity, after today's service, you know what to do. But he had many opportunities. I told you guys. When he was a baby, from when he was small, Herod wanted to kill him. But this time, you know, because he was a baby, his father had to do something. Are you in this place? God had to send an angel and talk to Joseph. So at times when you're a Christian and you're still coming up, you want to enter that bus. The Spirit of God says, come down. Come down. And then you come down. Why? Because of a reason. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
follow me, okay? When you're a child, the Spirit of God can say, you enter the bus, and then for some reason, for some strange reason, the conductor starts fighting you. How much do you have? He says, 200 naira. He says, no, the journey is 50 naira. He said, but you have 150 in your hand. He said, no, come down, come down, come down. Don't argue, just come down. Are you in this place? Don't argue. Don't say, no, this is my seat. I will sit down. You give me that change. Until now, the brake is not working again. So God would do anything possible to get you out of harm's way, like he did when Jesus was a baby. But when Jesus grew up, and he was in that boat in Mark chapter 4, do you know, when he was about to enter the boat, God did not say, my son, the boat will soon sink. Come down. Is that what he said? No. He let him enter because he had grown. He knew even if there was an accident, he could do something about it. And so when you grow spiritually, you're about to enter that bus. God might not say, come down. You're in the bus. The brake is failing, but you're in charge. He puts you there as security for others. But my point is, Jesus had many opportunities to die, but to refuse them. When he was a baby, Herod wanted to kill him. Are you in this place? In Luke chapter 4, after he finished preaching in the synagogue, they wanted to kill him. In John chapter 8, he said, before Abraham was, I am. They wanted to kill him. The Bible says he escaped. In John chapter 10, he said, I and my Father are one. They wanted to kill him. In Mark chapter 4, the boat nearly sunk. What did he do? He came and said, peace, be still. Are you noticing that death had no respect for Jesus? Are you noticing? Death tried. But Jesus was in charge. Now, that is the person God said you should follow. What does that mean? It means at different times, death would come. But if you're following Jesus, you would win. You would win. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so one of the things you have to learn to refuse as a Christian is death. Refuse to die. Refuse to die. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 5. You know, I was thinking last week that maybe I should talk about responding in church again. Because like after the lockdown, some of you need the message again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Romans 5. When you come to church, respond. respond. Romans 5 verse 17. If you're there, say, I'm there.
Amen.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. Am I waiting for anybody? All right, so let me talk about responding. You know, when, listen to me, pay attention to me. When you heard the gospel, someone came and told you Jesus died for your sins and accept him as Lord of your life. You might have agreed with what they said. Say, it's true. Mm-hmm. But until you spoke and said, today, I accept his lordship, you were not saved. Are you in this place?
Pastor.
Hearing the gospel was not enough. You had to respond. You had to say, yes, I believe. Yes, I accept. If you did that for the most important thing in this world, then every other blessing that God shows you, you have to respond to live in the reality. Are you in this place? So you say, yes, I believe Jesus is Lord of my life. Now you are saved. But you're still on this earth and challenges would come. But God says, whatsoever is born of God has overcome the world. You can hear that and say it's true. But until you respond, you will suffer in life. So when we say things like, if I say I am victorious, if you want to walk in victory, you have to learn to do what? Respond. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Learn to respond. Are you making progress?
I'm making progress.
You learn to talk. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Romans 5 verse 17. Let's look at that. I have a lot I want to share with you today. So, you're there. 17, I read it. It says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Are you looking into your Bible?
Yes.
If by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Who is that one man? Adam. Adam. Sin came into this world because of Adam. And because he disobeyed, people now die. Do you understand? It says, if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. Look into your Bible. It says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. He's telling you something. He's telling you death reigns. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen to me. Death reigns like king. You know, someone who is reigning doesn't need permission. Do you know? If I'm reigning in this place, I don't need your permission to tell you to get out of this place. Why? Because I'm reigning. He said in life, death reigns. That's why the guy can get up in the morning, tell his family members, see you in the evening, go to work, and all of a sudden, he has a heart attack and he dies. He was not expecting to die. Are you in this place? He wasn't expecting it. But death came and took him by force. What happened? Death reigned. Are you seeing it? Death reigned. So God agrees that because of what Adam did, people have no say. The guy is laughing. He's dead. He wasn't expecting to die. The lady said, hold my bag, let me get something. She's about to cross the road. The car hits her and she's dead. She was not expecting to die. Why didn't death ask for her permission first? God said, death reigned. But you know, the verse doesn't stop there. Look into your Bible, 17. I like it. Pay attention to me. Oh, boy. He says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they. So he's saying, listen. He's saying, death reigns. But there are some people There are some people, read this. He says, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. God is saying, death reigns. We agree, death reigns. He says, but there are some people that will reign much more. You know what that means? It means if death came, let's say death was a person. Are you listening to me? If death came and told this lady, get out of here. He says there are some people that have much more authority and they can tell the lady, sit down, and there's nothing death can do. That's what he's saying. Who are those people? He says, they which receive what? Abundance of grace. I have received abundance of grace. Do you know what that means? It means if death was about to take someone close to you, you can tell him, get out, and he'll go. Death is a being. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Before someone closes the eye and go, death had entered that room. Let me show you. When you read the Bible, you begin to understand how things work. Are you in this place? I will show you what death looked like. It's in the Bible. Revelations chapter 6. So you know, before the guy closed his eye and say, greet, Mama Emeka, I'm gone. It didn't just happen like that. A spirit was present to take him. It didn't just happen. Praise the Lord. It didn't just happen. Let me ask you a question. If a guy, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Listen to this question. If a woman enters the kitchen and she wants to cook, and then she lights the match and the place explodes, did it just happen? Talk to me, did it just happen? I'll say it again. If a woman enters the kitchen and she wants to cook, and she lights a match and the place explodes. Matches. Okay? Did it just happen? No. If you heard that story, would you say, please, which matches did she use? Oh, let me not buy it in the market again. Is that what you say? What would you say? You say gas leaked. She could not see it. But you know something was present that caused that explosion. The Bible says when someone is about to die, it didn't just happen. Someone was present that caused that. If that is true, then if I knew somebody that could chase that person away, that person would not have to die. Revelation 6. Are you there? Revelation 6. I just want to show you how death is. So you see, there's nothing to fear. Even the description is very sorrowful. 6 verse 8. So there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. Am I waiting for anybody? All right, you're speaking for them. Okay. This one is the chief speaker. 6 verse 8. I read it. He says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. A horse that was not happy. Have you seen a pale horse before? Are you in this place? If you saw someone, the person was looking like this. The person is pale. The face is not smiling. That person is what? Is sick. Okay? It's not okay. So that's the kind of horse he saw. So this one is a pale horse. So the horse was not smiling. All right. He says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was what? Death. When you sit on horses, what are you planning to do? You're planning to move. Are you seeing how death travels? You're planning to move. He's telling us about this spirit called death. He moves. And he's not technologically advanced. He doesn't move with jets. Moses, even his horse is tired of him. The pale horse. The horse is sick. What does that tell you? Death is a cause of sickness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So if this horseman, okay, let's finish the verse just for finishing sakes. It says, and his name that sat on him was what? Death. So death can be likened to a personality. And hell followed what? With him. This is why Jesus said the thief coming up before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to kill people because he's planning to take them to hell. Are you seeing it? Said hell followed him. So maybe the guy dies. Okay. And power was given him over unto them, or given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. So this is the judgment, it's Revelations, okay? It's the end of the world. So he's telling us what happened then. But look at the insight he gives you. He tells you that death goes around with a sick horse. So the guy was in the room. Are you in this place? He was in the room or in his office, and death entered the office with sickness. Now he begins to cough. The coughing did not just come. There's a spirit in that room. Are you seeing it? But he can't see the spirit. So he doesn't know what to do. If he could see the spirit, imagine you were in a room and someone came with something, spraying insecticide, and now you're coughing. What would you do? Take that thing away. But he can't see the spirit. And so now, he's coughing. His heart is about to die. But the Bible says, there are those who have received abundance of grace and the gift of, he says, they will reign. That means they are kings. So if death came, they can tell death, get out. And it will go. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It will go. But I want you to notice something. We are studying the word of God together. When he uses the word reign, he's telling you something. He's telling you that death would not respect you, but you have to put it in its place. Let me give you an example. Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
Look at this tablet. If I told you, if I came, I was sweating. So what happened? So I reigned over this tablet this morning. I reigned. What would you think? You think the tablet was misbehaving? Are you in this place? The tablet was misbehaving. So I subdued this tablet. I reigned. But with common sense, you should know you will not reign over this tablet because the tablet cannot be rebellious. Are you saying it? The tablet cannot argue with you. I can't reign over this box because the box cannot argue with me. You only reign over things that have the tendency to be rebellious, to not agree. Are you in this place? So you tell the guy, sit down. He refuses. Then you reign over him. You push him down. So reigning, because he says they will reign much more over death. Doesn't mean death will look at you and say, sorry, sir. And then go. No. Didn't you just see it? Jesus nearly died. Did you see that? So even Jesus, death had no respect for Jesus. So he was going to, the wind and the water was boisterous. The plan was to sink Jesus finally. Jesus got up and said what? Peace. Bible says he rebuked the wind. What's that? That's a king. He reigned in that situation. He rebuked the wind. He said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, you, when you got born again, you should reign much more. So he's telling you, God is assuring you that challenges would come that might try to take your life. But you're a king. And he says what? Reign much more. So I said that word, reign, tells you that it won't be easy. Things will come to try to test your authority. But God says what? Reign. No wonder. In Genesis chapter 1, are you listening to me? In Genesis chapter 1, remember the instruction he gave Adam. Do you remember that instruction? 1 verse 28, go there. Genesis 1, verse 28. I am glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. Oh, so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. See, belonging to Jesus doesn't mean, only mean you'll not go to hell. It means nothing can try you. Nothing can happen to you anyhow. 1 verse 28. And God blessed them. Or let's start from 27. Get it in context. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God did what? Blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful. And what? Multiply. And replenish the earth. And what? Subdue it. What does that tell you? Are you in this place? God said, be fruitful. Multiply. And what? See my hand movement. That means they'll be stubborn. So that means God had already prepared Adam for the serpent. Are you seeing it? That's what it means. These creatures, God was telling him, this earth that you have seen, subdue it. If they try to misbehave, tell them to do what? Behave. Subdue it. And so, when the serpent, when Satan entered the serpent, and he was talking to Eve, the Bible says Adam was there. God's instruction, God already told Adam. That's why people say, why? What was God doing when the devil was talking to Eve? Why didn't God just appear? No, God already told Adam, subdue. Let's finish this, 28. He says, and subdue it, and have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth, including the serpent. He says, have dominion. That means put them in their place. So when the serpent was talking to Eve and Adam was there, he should have said, hey, shut up, get out. Is that what he did? No. That was the first Adam. When the second and last Adam came, his name Jesus. And Satan tried again. You know, the first time he met Eve with food. She must have really liked food. Met Eve with food. He said, did God say so, so, and so? And she fell for it. Now, the Bible says Jesus just finished fasting and Satan comes with food. He says, if you are the Son of God, command the stones that they be made what? Bread. Then he said, he told him, you know, I'll give you all these things, bow down and worship me. He said, all right, cast yourself. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's a king. Are you seeing it? That was the response the first Adam should have given. Jesus said, get out. The next time Satan showed his ugly head, while Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. He said, I'll be killed. I'll be buried. The third day, I'll rise. The Bible says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And said, not so, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Jesus said, the Bible says he turned and said, get thee behind me, Satan. When Jesus talked to Satan, only two words, get out. Get out. Like he was a boy, because he is. Get out. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So when he says reign in life, he's telling you there are situations that would arise, but you have to reign. You have to be tough. You have to put them in their place. Now, your ear is shaking. Your ear is shaking. He's shaking. You're hearing me, but the hearing is not reducing. You can't hear me anymore. And your response is, hey, my ear. No, that's why I told you, before anything happens to your body, there is a spirit there. Are you seeing it? It doesn't just happen. There's a spirit there. So if you feel that sharp pain in your ear, and now you can't hear, say the name of Jesus, then get out. And it will go. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will do what? He will flee from you. He would. And so, in life, you have to learn to refuse whatever the devil throws at you. Refuse. Resist. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Resist. Look at the insight he just gave us from the Word of God. You're there talking with your relative, and now she can't breathe properly. That's why he gave you the word. He's telling you that because she cannot breathe, it means a spirit just entered that room. Are you in this place?
Yes.
There are people that will tell you, I was in the room, then my head began to feel light. Has that happened to you before? Are you in this place?
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes,
so since I was in the room, and all of a sudden, my head began to feel somehow. Some people even say, they came from the village. The head began to feel somehow. Now the word of God is confirming it. He's saying, when you are alone and you feel a sharp pain or something goes wrong, a spirit just entered the room. The question is, what would you do with that spirit? I told you, the only thing Jesus said to Satan was what? Get out. Don't say, please, sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. No. You tell the spirit, out. Someone says, so you mean me alone in the room, I should just talk to someone I cannot see? I can't see, so I'll just say, get out. Well, when you make phone calls, do you see the person? No, you enter the room, the guy is saying, I told you, buy it! I told you, buy it! You enter the room and say, And he's not even with his phone. He's using something in his ear. Something is wrong with you! And then imagine you're responding to him. Say, nothing is wrong with me. But he's talking to someone that he cannot see. So this excuse, that so you mean I should just talk to a spirit I cannot see. If you can talk to someone on the phone you cannot see with passion, you can talk to the devil. As long as there are five senses in the body, are you with me? As long as one of your senses can assure you that a spirit is there, at least you can talk to the spirit. Let me give you an example. I've said phone call. Have you ever been somewhere before, only you, and someone comes and closes your eye? That's happened to you before from the back. That's happened to you before. So you can't see the person, but you can feel the person. So you talk to the person. For some people, you say, who is that? Who is that? Expecting to hear a familiar voice. Person say, it's me. Say, hey! If it's your younger brother, it's me. He said, oh yeah, stop it now. He says, no. He said, I want to see, stop it. No, oh yeah, stop it. Some of you give him elbow. So, you could not see him, but because you could feel him, you could talk to him, you could rebuke him. You might not see that spirit called death, but if you begin to feel him, that means your chest begins to beat or your heart begins to beat. Are you in this place? Or your head begins to go. Now you're feeling him. What should you do? Stop it. Get out. And he would go. He would. So begin to operate spiritually. I was telling you, devils have no respect. And I'm thinking about the story in Mark chapter 9. Jesus just came down from the mountain and he noticed his disciples were arguing with some scribes. And so he came down and met them and said, what are you guys arguing about? And then one man from the crowd came and said, "Master, I brought my son to your disciples. So he's afflicted by a dumb spirit. See, at times," Matthew said, the man said, "he's a lunatic," meaning he's mad. "At times the spirit carries him and he runs into the fire. Other times it carries him and he runs into the water. He said, if you can do anything, please help me." Okay. Now, I like the fact that the man knew it was not normal. He knew it was a spirit. Did he see the spirit? No. But he could see from the boy's life. That was when the boy has picked race. No, it's a spirit. And the Bible says, Jesus said, "Bring the boy." Once the demon saw Jesus, he began to display. What's that? You're trying to scare Jesus. He began to display, began to run, roll, roll, roll. You know, praise the Lord. You know, if they brought someone to you and said, "This person needs prayer," and the person looks okay, all right? Say, "In the name of Jesus, out." So, all right, I'm healed, praise the Lord. But if they bring someone to you, and then the person gets, then the person rolls. Now, foam is coming up from the person's mouth. This is a very serious case. This is a very time. So look at that demon. I mean, the demons have no respect. Immediately he saw Jesus. He wanted to scare Jesus. Once he saw him, he said, then he starts rolling. The Bible says Jesus ignored him. I was asking the father questions. How long has this been? And he was still there rolling, trying to scare Jesus. Once Jesus was ready, he looked at it. All right, deaf and dumb spirit, get out. The demon could not believe it. All his rolling did not work. Once he heard "get out," before he could say "Jack Robinson," he was out. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So at times, like you're listening to this message now, and maybe you've been having issues with ulcer, and now you're listening and say, okay. Pastor said, when you're alone in the room, so it's not when people are there. Let me get to my hostel first. No, even when people are there, you can do something, okay? But then you go to your room, you get to the hostel, you lock the door, and then the pain increases. If you're here and that happens, relax. The devil knows it's about to go. That is his last blow. The pain increases. Then it starts. It's even worse. Now your head, everything. Remember that demon in Mark chapter 9. Don't be moved by that. You say, "This ulcer, I refuse you. You're gone now." Then sleep. The demon will be shocked. 1 minute, disturbing you. Next minute, outside. So, he says, or he told us, death moves with sickness. And so in life, you have to learn to refuse sickness. Don't accept it. Don't say, "My grandmother had it. My mother had it. My aunt had it. My grand aunt had it. So you must have it." No. You refuse it. I told you guys, someone said, all the firstborn in every family, they need to do special deliverance. Why? Because the Bible says in the book of Genesis that when Jacob was blessing Reuben, he said, "Reuben, you're my firstborn. You shall never excel." And so that curse is now on top of the head of every firstborn. So once you're a firstborn, you shall never excel. Have you heard that thing before? No, someone was explaining to me why, as a firstborn, I should do deliverance. And I told you guys, Jesus is the firstborn of our family. He has canceled that curse forever, if it existed. He's the firstborn. And would he do deliverance? No. He won't. So there are some things you refuse, you don't accept. Even if your aunt had that problem, not you, you are different from your aunt. The Bible says on that last day, every man will stand alone before God. You won't say, "The reason why I have this fibroid, Father, is because where's my family members? Where are they?" She had it too. No. You would stand alone. You would. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so you refuse sickness. You do. Now, if you're alone and your heart starts to beat, or you think you have asthma and you can't breathe, I am telling you, it did not just happen. A spirit entered. Use your mouth and tell the spirit to do what?
Go.
And it will go. Are you in this place?
Yes.
It will go. You have a little baby. The baby's temperature is getting high, high, high. Now the baby is crying. You don't know what to do. What's the time? 2 a.m. I am telling you, it did not just happen. A spirit came with a horse that was angry with the spirit to take that baby. You don't wait and say, but I didn't see any spirit. I didn't feel anything. No, you don't need to feel. You can see what is happening. So what do? Tell the devil, out. Get out of this room. And it will go. Never to return again. Say glory.
Glory.
It will go. So, I started by saying, you be like Jesus. Whatever is not according to God's word for your life, you have to do what? Refuse. Let's go back to that Romans 5 verse 17. I'll end there. Romans 5 verse 17. Are you there? Freddy, I say
I'm there.
Just as an aside, since we are talking, I'm trying to tell you that nothing happens just for happening's sake. The Bible tells us in Zechariah chapter 5 how that anybody who steals, it will not be well with that person. But then it tells us why. He says there's a scroll of the commandments that enters. Okay, go there, Zechariah 5. Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah 5. Say, I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Ah, you didn't say it like you're a king.
I'm a
king. Say, I'm a king.
I'm a king.
You know, there are people that they try to intimidate people. You're always angry. Enter the room. Maybe it's the father. Enter the parlor. Everybody puts off the TV. They run to their room. He's always angry. Where's my food? Angry. There's nothing wrong with being angry. Just be angry when it matters. Now he feels a pain in his body. All the anger gone. No, I like the fact that he was raining in his home the way he wants. But the Bible says reign in life also. In life also. Everybody knows in the compound. He's the one that doesn't greet and smile.
Good morning.
When he comes on, ping! He's the one always giving his opinion in the compound meeting. Nobody pumps the water. I'm telling you, somebody should pump the water. Now thieves come to the compound. Hey! Where's one of the house? I'm a visitor. I just came. He was reigning where it did not matter. When it mattered, he was a coward. Why don't you be like Jesus? In John 18, the Bible says the multitude came with weapons. Sword. They brought knives, sword, and staves. And Jesus went out to meet them. Thank God it is Jesus we are following. He went out to meet them. Like the man of the house. Are you saying it? No, so the only man of the house is when they are giving money. Who is the man of the house? I'm the man of the house. But if he's thief, we are thieves. Who's the man of the house? He's quiet. No, be like Jesus. They came with their weapons. He said, who are you looking for? He came out. Said, Jesus of Nazareth. that I'm the one. And the Bible says, what happened? Fell down. All of them. That's a king. That's the one you should follow. Are you in this place?
Yes,
I said the prayer 5, Abby. Okay, let me just read it to you. Verse 1. Then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, flying roll, that means paper. Do you understand? Like toilet roll. Do you understand now? Toilet roll is what? Tissue paper. Okay. Flying roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. So it's a rectangle. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. It has not stopped. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side. Listen, look up. Okay? He's saying he saw paper. All right? So the angel is telling him this paper is a curse that goes everywhere in this world. So he's saying everyone that steals will be cut off according to this side. Do you understand? He's telling him according to this side, like he's showing him. Do you understand? Okay, let's finish this. Those of us at the back, can you hear me?
Yes,
sir. Okay. He said, shall be cut off according to this side, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off on that side according to it. Verse 4. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief. And into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones. You know what he's saying? He's saying, anybody who steals, that curse would enter the person's house and remain there, and things begin to spoil. The person cannot do. Have you seen people who steal and they keep stealing? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He steals, and the guy is a Yahoo boy, but he can't stop. He can't do anything good with that money. It's that curse. He says it would damage the stones. That means if he stole money, are you in this place, and he used it to renovate his house, God says there will also be leakage because the curse is right there. I'm just showing you this to show, or telling you this to show you that. Nothing just happens. Nothing. There's a spirit called death that goes around. Remember something I was telling someone, that Satan, his only purpose in life is to destroy. Think about it. There is a being in this world that his purpose is to destroy you. But you're bigger than him. You should have responded. Bigger than him. I mean, if you're listening to me right now and you're really paying attention, you should make up your mind. Nobody would die in your family again. Not while you're there. Nobody. Why? Because now you know who's responsible. And the Bible says what? Reign much more. Nobody would die again. You don't have to bury that baby again. You now know who's responsible. Romans 5, last verse. Romans 5. Someone says, God, can't you see what I'm going through? He's seen it. He's not blind. Can't you do something? He has done something. When Jesus, they woke him up from sleep. He said, are you sleeping? He said, can't you see we're about to die? Jesus did not say, oh God, why didn't you tell me before I entered this nonsense boat? Is that what he said? No. He didn't blame God. He didn't attack him. He knew what to do. He knew it was time to reign. If you're facing challenges in life, it is time to reign. How do you reign? You talk. At times you say, I'm tired. No money for rent. I'm tired. As we are trying to look for money for rent, now my cousin has this problem. Now, this is happening. Money, I'm tired. Okay, it's good to be tired. Now, channel that anger and resist the devil. That's what you should do. 17. It says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more. He's saying, death reigning cannot be compared to how much you can reign. How much you can reign. You know what that means? Oh, dear God. Can you let me hold this? Can you come? Thank you. Stand. Now, he's standing. If you don't want to move, you don't want to move. Are you looking at us? But if I'm reigning, he says death reigned. Are you in this place? But this one is quite stubborn. So I could say, move. But he refuses. He's still standing. Are you in this place? So I need more energy to get him to respond. So say, did I not tell you to move? And he refuses. He's still standing. So I push him. Then he moves.
Praise the Lord.
No, still stand. Okay? Now the Bible is telling us, death reigns, all right? If death came and he was a bit stubborn, like, for example, the guy is about to die, but he first of all has a heart attack. Are you seeing it? So it doesn't just happen. He doesn't just look and then, no, there's some struggle. There's some difficulty, but he finally dies. Are you in this place? All right, so death comes and pushes him. Give him that heart attack so that you die. It's quite tough. The Bible says, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign much more. That means the struggle death had to try to kill this man, they will not have that struggle. If death had to force him to move before he moved, they don't have to force death to move. Once they come, they can say, out, and death will go. Because they have much more authority. So someone says, this sickness, I've had it for 6 years. Don't you think it should take 6 years for me to be cured? No, he says, we will reign much more. So you don't need 6 years. Much more. If it was 6 years and it was, we would reign more, it should be 3 years. If it said, we will reign much, it should be 1 year. But if you are reigning much more, few seconds. You can have your seat. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Few seconds. You have to believe it. You have to. So for 3 minutes, the guy has been having heart attack. You can come in few seconds and say, devil, out. And that will be the end of it. I told you about Jesus in Mark 9. The demon was displaying while Jesus was talking to the boy's father. He was displaying. Once Jesus was ready for that demon, it didn't take 1 minute. So you deaf and dumb spirit, get out. And that was the end of it. So know this. Number one, nothing just happens. Nothing. There is a wicked spirit. Bible says death is an enemy of God. So death is not God's friend. God will never side with death. He will never side with death. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 26, go check it. Death is an enemy of God. So there is this wicked spirit that goes from house to house. Goes from house to house. Trying to afflict people. But if you're in that house, you're a king over the death. But because you're king, doesn't mean death will not try to enter. He would enter. But Jesus said, cast out. Listen, if he says cast out, that means it will come in. But if it comes in, don't let it stay. He says what? Cast out. Tell it to go. And it will go. This is your mouth, eh? Are you with me? This is your mouth. It's more powerful than your brain. Because with your mouth, you can control your brain. This is your mouth. You have to learn to use it. No room for being shy. Now, you feel something in your leg. It's feeling somehow. You say, what did Pastor say? Cast out there. Okay. Go. And you're alone in the room. Go now. It just hit me somehow as I'm saying it. But you're alone in the room. No. Reign in life. Have you seen a king before? Like a real king, like Obas. How do they walk? You know, authority. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
At times, the guy is not even a king, he just has bodyguards. But see him walking. Why? Come and try me now. He has some authority. Listen, physical authority is good, but it's not as good as spiritual authority. And you have that authority. I remember Jesus in the presence of Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you a king?" He said, "You have said I'm a king." Let me show you something. Last verse. I promise. All right. But I love the word of God so much. John 19, quickly. I just want to show you something. This king called Jesus. He was about to die. He was about to die. He was in front of the man that could have said, "I release you." Anyway, Pilate did not have any authority there because the Bible says Pilate wanted to release Jesus. That's what the Bible said. He wanted to because he knew the man did not do anything wrong. Everything they brought against him was hearsay, a lie. 19. verse 7. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he had made himself the Son of God." When Pilate thereof heard that saying, he was the more what? Afraid. Why? Because he had been talking to Jesus before. Jesus had told him, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." That was when he was about to die, but he was a king. So when he heard this man said he was the Son of God, he became more afraid. Verse 10, then Pilate said unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." You know what he was trying to say? He said, listen, you have physical authority. It doesn't mean anything. This is someone you're about to kill. He said, you could have no authority except my Father gave you. So what he's trying to tell Pilate is that even not this one, I'm still the one running things. That's a king. And you are a king.
King.
So don't live your life. Walk like a king. Talk like a king. Someone says, "I'm always in health. I can never fall sick." You can come to church and you say that, but in your mind, you'll say, "Hey, God, they are just saying it though. Please, let sickness not hook me." No, say it like a king. Why? Because didn't you see? I want to show you. I've ended. But look at the description of death. Look at the horse death is riding. Is that something to be afraid of? A sick horse? He's powerless. Jesus rendered, the Bible says he paralyzed the devil. So he has no authority. But you have to reign. He says reign in life. In life, when the challenges come, reign. Don't agree. That's what it means to reign. Don't agree. They said, "Your dad has 3 days to live." Don't agree. Reign. Are you in this place? They said, "In this family, it will take you 7 years before you go to school after YN." Don't agree. Reign. They say, "Your mom had fibroid. Your aunt had fibroid. Your great aunt had fibroid. In fact, we were nearly called fibroid age because in our family lineage, fibroid. So we are not surprised that it looks like." Don't agree. Don't let them finish it.
I reign.
You reign. Say, not me. They said, this swelling, your smoke swelling. He said, no, it's only food. In fact, I liked what Ezine said. It's only success and prosperity that is in my stomach. Reign. Say, I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Say, I'm a victor.
I'm reigning
in life.
I'm reigning in life.
Nothing
can stop me.
I'm bigger. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is that true?
Yes.
Say, I live a glorious life.
A life of victory.
I'm in charge everywhere. No, you're in the car. And they said, fire is burning somewhere.
I'm telling you, it's not about fire. It's about the spirit called death. Because that's why he told us Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were they not inside fire? Did they die? Because the Son of God, the angel of God, was there and chased death out. So because there was no death, they did not die. So it's not about fire. It's not about the break. It's about that spirit called death. The Bible says you would reign much more.
Yeah.
Have you learned something today?
Yes, Pastor.
Say, I'm reigning.
I'm reigning.
I'm reigning.
I'm reigning.
Speaking of.